الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وفي ذلك فليتنافس المتنافسون صدق الله العظيم قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من تطهر في بيته ثم خرج إلى المسجد لأداء الصلاة المكتوبة فأجره مثل أجر الحاج المحرم أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected علماء الكرام, elders, beloved brothers in Islam, we are living in an increasingly materialistic world. This concept or this idea that whatever effort we are making to acquire the material wealth of this world, that effort is limited. A person can make whatever plans he wants, he can acquire whatever degrees of this world he wants, open as many businesses as he wants. But at the point when he feels that palpitation in his chest, at the point when the ruh, the soul of this insan reaches the hulqum, at the time of sakarat, which Quran 14 centuries ago Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Waqi'ah, فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَ إِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ فَلَوْلَا إِن كُنْتُمْ غَيْرَ مَدِينِينَ تَرْجِعُونَهَا إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Before these verses, there is an idea that Quran is putting forward, that there is a vast section of humanity that has made the acquisition of the material things of this world its object, and they are striving in that direction. And then there was the message of Quran, Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam, and Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that the effort that you make for dunya is limited. The real effort is the effort for akhirat, which is forever. So Allah Ta'ala in the Quran, in these verses, says that if what you are doing is correct, if your plans for this dunya is what you're supposed to be doing, then when the soul reaches the hulqum, when the person goes into sakarat, it's a millionaire, multi-millionaire, billionaire, whatever he may be. 14 centuries ago, Allah Ta'ala issues the challenge that if what you are doing is correct, then with your technology, with medical science, with whatever wealth you have at your disposal, set up a system to send his soul back into the body. Get him an extension in time. فَلَوْلَا إِن كُنْتُمْ غَيْرَ مَدِينِينَ. Allah says, if you are not prepared to accept that this dunya is not asal and akhirat is asal, if you in kuntum ghayra madinin, if you are not prepared to accept, then Allah says, send the soul back, get him an extension. It has not happened in this 14 centuries, and it will never happen, because Quran says it will never happen. No one will get an extension. All the plans, whether your bank balance is 6 figures or 7 figures, whatever car you are driving, whatever projects you have in the pipeline, whatever investments are there in the pipeline, whatever buildings you are putting up, whatever new businesses you are opening, when that sakarat comes, when that crunch point comes, by the qasam of my Allah, all those things will mean nothing. Because none of that wealth and none of the effort of dunya is going to come with you into the qabr. This is what our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, one of the main efforts that he made upon Sahaba Ikram in Makkah Mukarramah and Madinah Munawwara, was to instill this absolute conviction, an absolute belief, an absolute motivation that our goal is akhirat, the goal is not this dunya. We are living in a materialistic world, as I mentioned in the beginning. When you pick up any newspaper, listen to any aspect of media, what are you hearing about throughout the world? You are hearing about people that are marching. They are demanding rights. They are trying to address perceived inequalities. What is the underlying objective behind this? That we are materialistically disadvantaged. The poor are marching against the rich. People are marching to Parliament House. People are marching to governments. Read the papers, the whole of Europe is on fire. America is on fire. The whole world is on fire. People are demanding, please. People are demanding that these inequalities be addressed. In the time of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a similar, to use the word march, which gives the mental picture of toying, etc., is not in keeping with the maqam and status of the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But just for our understanding, a similar delegation was formed in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They didn't march. They formed a delegation and they presented themselves in Darbar-e Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Whom did this delegation comprise of? Qatada radiyallahu anhu is the narrator of the hadith. He says, قَدِمَ نَاسٌ مِّن فُقَرَاءِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Who did the delegation comprise of? The poor people of Medina. The disadvantaged of Medina formed a delegation and presented themselves in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, demanding justice that addressed this inequality. The whole world today is marching for the same reason. But what are they marching? What injustice have they perceived? Address the injustice of this dunya. Address the disparate distribution of wealth of this dunya. Address the disparate opportunities of this dunya. The Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, such an effort to instill the conviction of akhirat was made on them, that they also marched, they also formed a delegation. But they did not ask Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about any disadvantage in this dunya. They asked him about disadvantage of akhirat. They had heard of the reward of hajj. They had heard of the reward of sadaqah. They had heard of the reward of freeing slaves. They were poor. When we talk of reward of hajj, the days of hajj, just one hadith gives us an idea of what reward Allah has kept. And why it is that the Sahaba drove in this particular direction. They were worried. We are not going to get this chance. What chance? Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu is the narrator of the hadith. He says, I was sitting in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Two people came. One was an Ansari, a resident of Medina Munawwara. One was somebody from the Banu Thaqif clan. They came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They had istifta. They had come to ask some questions. Look at the maqam and the status of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People are coming to ask him questions. Before they can reach him, Allah sends Jibreel to inform him that of the people that are coming, not only of the people that are coming, Allah informs him what are the questions beforehand. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam addresses them. He says, if you want, I will answer your questions. Or if you want, I will tell you what your questions are before you mention them to me. So they said, Ya Rasulullah, tell us, what are the questions? So he said, you people have come to ask me about the rites of Hajj, of the manasik of Hajj, and what reward Allah has kept in that. They said, by the qasam of that Allah, who has sent you as his Nabi, that is exactly what we came to ask you about. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam addresses them. The hadith is a lengthy one. Occasion of Jumu'ah is very difficult to do justice. But just the crux, he said, فَإِنَّكَ إِذَا خَرَجْتَ مِنْ بَيْتِكَ تَأُمُّ الْبَيْتَ الْحَرَامِ فَلَا تَضَعُ نَاقَتُكَ خُفًّا وَلَا تَرْفَعُهُ إِلَّا كُتِبَتْ لَكَ بِهَا حَسَنًا وَحُطَّ عَنْكَ بِهَا خَطِيئًا وَأَمَّا رَكْعَتَاكَ بَعْدَ الطَّوَافِ كَعِتْقِ رَقَبَةٍ مِنْ بَنِي إِسْمَاعِيلَ وأما وقوفك وأما طوافك بين الصفا والمروة كعتق 70 رقبة وأما وقوفك عشية عرفة فإن الله تعالى يهبط إلى السماء الدنيا فيباهي بكم ملائكة عبادي هؤلاء جاءوني شعثا من كل فج عميق يرجون جنتي ويخافون عذابي فلو كانت ذنوبكم كعدد الرمل أو كقطر المطر أو كزبد البحر لغفرتها لكم أفيضوا مغفورا لكم ولمن شفعتم له وأما رميك الجمار فبكل حصاة رميتها تكفير كبيرة من الموبقات وأما نحرك فمذكور لك عند السماء إلى آخر الحديث. What does Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? He says, when the person of my ummah leaves his home to proceed for Hajj, every step, one sin is wiped off, one neki is written down. When he reaches Baytullah, he makes tawaf, tawaf-e-qudum. On that tawaf, Allah Ta'ala gives him the reward of freeing a slave, not any slave, a slave from the progeny of Ismail alayhi salam. Then he proceeds for Sa'i between Safa and Marwa. Allah gives him the reward as if he freed 70 slaves. Then he gathers on the plains of Arafah. Allah descends in a descension keeping with his maqam to the first heaven. Allah addresses the malaika, look at my slaves, they have come to me from deep and distant ravines, from different parts of the earth. Their hair is disheveled, their body is full of dust, they are perspiring, their hair, look at their condition. Allah says to his angels, they desire my mercy, they fear my azab. Allah says to his angels, I make you a witness, if they have sinned to such an extent, sinned so much as the number of rain droplets that have fallen from the heavens, sinned so much as the number of grains of sand on this earth, sinned so much as the number of the foam on the waves of the oceans, no matter how much they have sinned, O my malaika, I make you a witness, I have forgiven all their sins. Allah addresses that majma of Arafah, return in such a condition, you are sinless, you are forgiven. Thereafter, they will pelt the shayateen, ramyuka al-jimar, for every stone that they will throw towards the shaitan, a major sin, a kabira sin, that was going to destroy them, take them to Jahannam, such a sin Allah will forgive. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, they make zabah of the qurbani animal in Mina, for every, the reward of that, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, for every hair on the body of that animal, Allah Ta'ala wipes away one sin, Allah gives them one neki. Towards the end of the hadith, the virtues of Hajj are enumerated. Sahaba heard this, we hear it, makes no difference to us. Or some little bit shock it creates. Sahaba were different. The poor people are thinking to themselves, we can't afford to go for Hajj. The rich ones are going ahead, not in dunya, in akhirat. They are freeing slaves, they are going ahead. They are giving sadaqah and charity, they are going ahead. What is going to happen? We are being left behind. We are disadvantaged. The concern was not for dunya, I'm reiterating this. The concern was for akhirat. They formed this delegation and they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Rasulullah, we are poor, they are rich. They are doing these deeds. We cannot afford to do it. Tell us, what must we do? The annals of history, you will never find an issue like this ever being raised. Such was the conviction of Sahaba of Akhirat that caused such a situation to arise. And look at the shafqat, look at the kindness of my master sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He doesn't go into some intellectual discussion, doesn't use bombastic terms, doesn't use confusing examples to address this issue. A lot of times, sometimes we hear an intellectual is giving a talk, he uses such bombastic terms, we don't even understand what he said. What will come out, hey, what a fantastic talk the person gave. The more confused we get, the more intelligent we think that person is. That is not intelligence, that is foolishness. What is intelligence is to bring yourself down to the level of your audience. On the one hand, we have that personality, Wahab bin Munabbah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى لَمْ يُعْتِ جَمِيعَ النَّاسِ مِنْ بَدِي الدُّنْيَا إِلَىٰ إِنْقِضَائِهَا مِنَ الْعَقْلِ فِي جَنْبِ عَقْلِهِ إِلَّا كَحَبَّةِ رَمْلٍ بَيْنَ رِمَالِ الدُّنْيَا. He says, if the combined intelligence of every person from Adam alayhi salam to the last person to come before Qiyamah had to be pooled together and equated to one grain of sand, then the intelligence and aqal of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would be all the grains of sand on the earth. That intelligence. Who is the audience? The poor people of Medina, the Bedouins of Medina, shepherds of Medina, people that haven't been to any school or any university. So look at how the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam brings himself down to the level of his audience when addressing this question. He says, "Tell me, my Sahaba, lo anna mala dunya udhiya ba'duhu ala ba'd akana balighan as-sama." He said, if you owned all the wealth of the world, all the gold, all the diamonds, all the silver, and you piled it up, would it reach the heavens? They said, no, Ya Rasulullah. If one person owned everything, it still won't reach the heavens. So what does he say? أَفَلَا أُخْبِرُكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ أَسْلُهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَرْعُهُ فِي السَّمَاءِ He said, oh my Sahaba, should I not tell you about something? One deed you will do, how much it will cost you? How much do you have to spend? Do you need accreditation? Do you need to save up? Do you need to spend $1 million or $2 million? No. It will cost you nothing. But what is the value in Allah's sight? The root of it is in the earth. The branch of it is in the heavens. What is he saying? He says this one deed will get you more reward than spending the combined wealth of the entire world. They said, Ya Rasulullah, tell us, what is this deed? Costs us nothing. Yet such a reward. He said, Antakulu dubura kulli salatim maktuba la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar wa subhanallah walhamdulillah ashra marat fa inna aslahunna fil ard wa farahunna fis sama. He said, after every far salah, say 10 times, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, allahu akbar. How much does it cost you? 1,000, 10,000, 20,000? How much time does it take? He said, say this third kalima 10 times after every first salah. And what reward will Allah give you? Allah will give you more reward as if you spend the combined wealth of the entire world in sadaqah and charity. Another riwayat, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, say after every first salah 33 times subhanallah, 33 times alhamdulillah, 34 times Allahu Akbar, tudrikuna bihi man sabakakum. وَتَسْبِقُونَ بِهِ مَنْ بَعْدَكُمْ وَلَا يَكُونُ أَحَدٌ أَفْضَلَ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا الَّذِي صَنَعَ مِثْلَ مَا صَنَعْتُمْ. He said, say this tasbih Fatima 33 times subhanallah, 33 times alhamdulillah, 34 times Allahu Akbar after every far salah, and you will catch up with anyone who has gone ahead of you. You will go ahead of anyone else. In akhirat, no one will meet Allah with more reward than the one who carries out this action. Such a deen, such a shariat we have been given. The days of Hajj, we hear the reward of Hajj. They are those fortunate ones who go again and again. It does not mean that those who are left behind are deprived. Such reward Allah has kept in these basic amal. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man salla subha fi jama'atin thumma jalasa fi musallahu yadhkuru Allah ta'ala hatta tatlu'a ash-shams." ثم صلى ركعتين كان له مثل اجر حاج وعمره تامه قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تامه تامه تامه. Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم said, a person comes for fajr salah with jamaat. Just now juma salah will take place, there won't be any place in the back. Fajr salah, there's 3 safs or 3.5 safs. Where is the rest of the masjid? Where are the rest of us? What are we doing at the time of Fajr? Tell the same person, I'm sponsoring you for Hajj. I got your accreditation. I booked your hotels. He gets interested, he gets excited, I'm going for Hajj. One pious person had made 60 Hajj. 60, not ordinary Hajj, walking Hajj. One night he's sleeping. His mother calls out, old mother, 80 or 90 years old. She says to her son, bring me a glass of water. He gets irritated. He gets upset in his heart. Then he's Allah wala. Allah's ta'alluq is there. So he makes muhasaba. Asks himself, you found it easy to walk for Hajj for 60 years. Such a long distance, such an arduous journey. Yet you are finding it difficult to get one cup of water for your mother. Where is the understanding of deen? Is it not that you were motivated by the shabashi of people? People are looking up to you. You made so many hajj. To go for that cup of water, nobody is going to make shabashi to you. Nobody is going to tell you anything. Nobody going to pat you on the back. Why is it you're finding this hard? You're finding that easy. December comes, Umrah. How many people's haram, how many people's wealth we have eaten up? Person is going for Hajj again and again. You usurp the inheritance of his female family members. Ulama say, Tarku daniq mimma yakrahuhu Allah ahabba ilayya min khamsi miyati hajj. They say to stay away from one penny of haram. To stay away, listen. My respected brothers, listen with the ears of Iman. To stay away from one penny of haram is better than 500 nafil hajj. Better than 500 nafil hajj is to stay away from one penny of haram. How easy we find to usurp the rights of others to do haram. But nafil hajj, nafil umrah, again and again the person is going. What is going to be his reception on that side? Fajr salah, so difficult to wake up. What is the difficulty? What is the difficulty? What is my Nabi saying? Make your Fajr salah with Jamaat. Sit in the masjid for a little while. Don't look, don't bolt for the exit. Sit for a little while until the sunrise. Until the time of Ishraq, 15 minutes after sunrise. Then read two rakats namaz. We heard the reward of Hajj. What does Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Every day do this. For each day that you do this, Allah will give you the reward of one Hajj and one Umrah. So that you don't have any doubt about it, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reiterated, he said, Tamma, 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 complete Hajj and Umrah, complete Hajj and Umrah, complete Hajj and Umrah every day. The hadith which I mentioned in the beginning, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Man tatahara fi baytihi, thumma kharaja ila al-masjid li-ada'i salatin maktuba. Person makes wudu at home, goes to the masjid to make his far salah. To us it looks like an ordinary musalli coming to the masjid. In Allah's court, what does Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? This person's example is like someone who tied the ihram and went for hajj. فَأَجْرُهُ مِثْلُ أَجْرِ الْحَاجِ الْمُحْرِمِ. Juma Salah. There was a time the elderly people used to come early for Juma Salah. Nowadays what happens? Everybody last minute. Walk in the courtyard outside, you'll see youngsters standing around. The shock of coming early for Juma is no more there. Yunus bin Maysara enters the Qabristan. He addresses, reads the dua. Assalamu alaikum ya ahl al-kuburi min al-muslimin. أنتم لنا سلف ونحن لكم تبع فرحمنا الله وإياكم وغفر لنا لنا وغفر لنا ولكم فكأن قد سرنا إلى ما سرتم إليه. What does he say? He says, peace be upon your residents of these graves. You are gone ahead, we are just behind you. It seems, he says, it seems as if we have already reached the qabr. What is the difference? The one in the qabr, his chance to earn neki has come to an end. His avenue for akhirat has come to an end. The one who is alive, he's still got an opportunity. So when he says, it seems as if we have reached you, from the grave the response comes, Ozai is the narrator of this. Tuba lakum ya ahl ad-dunya, hina tahujjuna fi shahri arba mirar. Mubarak to you, O people who are still alive. Allah is giving you the opportunity to make four hajj every month. He gets a shock. Four hajj every month? Every month? Ila Ain, what are you talking about? He addresses the grave. From the grave the response comes, Ama ta'lamuna anna hudur al-jumu'a ta'dilu hajjatan mabruratan maqbula. Don't you know that Jumu'ah salah carried out correctly is equal to one mabrur maqbul hajj? Jumu'ah salah carried out correctly is equal to one mabrur maqbul hajj. Four chances every month. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, man ghassala waghtasala wadana wabtakara waqtaraba wastama'a kana lahu bi kulli khatwatin yakhtuha qiyamu sanatin wa siyamaha. Aw kama qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that person who makes ghusl on the day of Jumu'ah, adopts the sunnah, comes early, listens attentively to the khutbah, what will Allah give him? For every step that he took coming to the masjid for Jumu'ah, for every step Allah will give him the reward of 1 year's nafil ibadat at night, 1 year's tahajjud salah, and 1 year's fasting for every step. Yet, where is the shauk to come early for Jumu'ah? Where is the consciousness of the value of these a'mal that are given to us? One youngster. Comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inni uridu al-jihad wa la aqdiru alayhi. He says, Ya Rasulullah, I want to make jihad. What is jihad? What is he talking about? Putting his life in danger for the sake of Allah's deen. He says, I want to make jihad, but I don't have the ability. I don't have the ability. What does Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say to him? Abaqiya min walidayka ahad. Any of your parents alive? He says, Ummi, my mother is alive. What does Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? فَأَبِلِ اللَّهَ فِي بِرِّهَا فَإِذَا فَعَلْتَ ذَلِكَ فَأَنْتَ حَاجٌ وَمُعْتَمِرٌ وَمُجَاهِدٌ. He said, exert yourself in the service of your mother. If you will do this, Allah will raise you as one who made hajj every year. Umrah upon Umrah. And Allah will raise you as a mujahid who strove in the path of Allah if you will make service to your mother. One hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ما من ولد بالرٍ ينظر إلى والديه نظرة رحمة إلا كتب الله له بكل نظرة حجة مبرورة. He said, when an obedient child, not one who is the source of duk, not one who is the source of pain, not one who is a source of hurt, an obedient child looks at his parents with the gaze of rahmat, with the gaze of mercy. For every gaze, Allah will give him the reward of 1 hajj. Sahaba was surprised. It doesn't take much effort. How difficult is it? So they asked, why nazara fil yawmi miyata marra? What happens if he looks 100 times in 1 day? Allah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded, Allahu Akbar wa Atyab. The treasures of Allah are limitless. If he looks 100 times in 1 day, Allah will give him 100 hajj reward. Days of hajj have come. How many years have passed already? How many hajj we have heard of? The problem, my respected brothers, is the life of the ummah is not changing. We haven't understood the lesson, fundamental lesson of hajj. What is hajj? Ziyarat of Baytullah, we are going to meet Allah. We are going to create the consciousness of Allah. One is that Kaabatullah which is situated in Makkah Mukarramah. There is another Kaabatullah. That Kaabatullah is situated between your two ribs. That is the qalb, the heart of this insan is Kaabatullah. It is the house of Allah. It has to become the arsh of Allah. For that Kaabatullah, you need accreditation. For that Kaabatullah, how much you are going to spend? For that Kaabatullah, how much dua you are making? My respected brothers, my Allah is not in Makkah Mukarramah 1,000 kilometers away or 10,000 kilometers away. My Allah is closer to every one of us than our jugular vein. Allah is closer to us than our jugular vein. This heart is Allah's Kaaba. This heart is Allah's Arsh. We have to fill it with the noor of Allah's ma'rifat, with the noor of Allah's love, with the noor of Allah's closeness. And for that, we don't have to go to Makkah. Allah give us the opportunity again and again. But we have these opportunities every day to earn Hajj reward. Every Fajr Salah, every Ishraq Salah, every Far Salah. Obedience to our parents. What a shariat, what a deen we are given. Staying away from haram. On every one of these things, Allah is giving us the reward of maqbool, mabroor hajj. Make this Kaaba, this qalb, this heart, fill it with Allah's noor, with Allah's marifat, with Allah's obedience. Stay away from haram. And by the qasam of my Allah, by the qasam of my Allah, by the qasam of my Allah, the noor of this will light up the whole world. It will light up the whole world. Like the poet puts it beautifully, إِلَيْكَ قَصْدِي رَبَّ الْبَيْتِ وَالْحِجْرِي فَأَنْتَ سُؤَلِي مِنْ حَجِّي وَمِنْ عُمَرِي وَفِيكَ سَعْيِي وَتَطْوَافِي وَمُزْدَلِفِي وَالْهَدْيُ نَفْسِي الَّذِي يُغْنِي عَنِ الْجَزَرِي. He says, Ya Allah, Hajj is not the goal. Umrah is not the goal. Tawaf is not the goal. Safa is not the goal. Arafah is not the goal. Ya Allah, you are the goal. Your love, your ta'alluq. And the qurbani animal that is sacrificed in Mina is not even the qurbani animal, it is my own nafs. Every day pass this knife over this nafs. Over this nafs. Stay away from haram. Stay away from haram. Come unto the obedience of Allah. Allah is the goal. Akhirat is the goal. This understanding, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam instilled in the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They also marched. They also demanded rights. They also competed with one another. But their competition was not for dunya. Their competition was for akhirat. Quran tells us, وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ The medan, the road of akhirat is open. Compete for akhirat. Don't worry about the temporary competition of this dunya. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.